Well, good morning, everybody. How you doing today? Come on up, guys. You're part of this. Come on up. And if you're kind of new here today, this is a little out of the norm of what we do for our worship time and our preaching time. But we're going to combine a presentation of our recent Haiti trip along with a brief message at the tail end of this. So we're in store for a good morning together on this Palm Sunday. So the way this works, this is kind of unrehearsed, but we all have a script of the slides that I'm going to show. And all three of us, Pastor Larry and Don Klapka, is going to help make this presentation this morning. As you know, we went together over to McAtee for a pastor's conference, and all kind of things opened up for us. God opened up the doors tremendously on this trip like we've never seen before. And our challenge this morning is to try to take our excitement and our passion that God gave us and try to somehow communicate that to you so that you can see where you fit in with global missions in Haiti with our church. So with that said, let's start looking at a couple things here, just a couple slides of us traveling in the airport here and so forth. This is a ride that some of these pictures Don took from just kind of taking a picture from the car driving to Pastor Louis's house, who is our host always on these trips. We had an extra day, right, guys? Yeah. I'll tell that story, then I'll hand it over to Don. Okay. We planned to fly out on Saturday and come back on Saturday, and we had everything ready to go, and when we went to get our tickets, the travel agent said, the flight is full. And I'm like, that's not good. So I called Don. I said, is there any way you can get off work if we could go Friday? And he's like, sure, no problem. I can make it work. So we were able to fly out on Friday. So that gave us an entire day Saturday that was unplanned, nothing on the agenda. So I told Pastor Louis, you know, we're coming a day early. Don's first time there in Haiti, so maybe do a little show and tell, take him around and show him different places, maybe go pray with some people. It's kind of up to you. I didn't know what God had in store for us, but here we are on Saturday on top of Pastor Louis's house, up in the area he calls the upper room, and we're just starting to share and dream about what are our plans are for Haiti. And out of that discussion, we started to kind of go a little bit on the concern negative side by saying there's a lot of things that have to get worked out here. So I'm going to let Don take it from there.
So it started out Saturday morning. Pastor Louis says, well, we have a problem. I can't take you around yet because my Jeep has bad brakes. And so I have to have the mechanic come by, and that was about 8:30 in the morning. The mechanic comes by and says, I can't take off the tire. Give me the locking lug nut. So Louis finds it, and he hands him this locking lug nut, and he still can't take the tire off. The mechanic says, Louis, the locking lug nut, the lock is broke. So you have to get the vehicle to my garage or to my area so I can cut the bolt off so we can actually fix the brakes. So Louis comes in. He goes, I have to leave. We're going to take my Jeep to the mechanics. And so Pastor Larry and Pastor Glenn and I, we go upstairs and we sit up there. And I start thinking, wait a minute, he doesn't have any brakes and he's got to go downhill. So I kind of clam up for a few minutes and I started journaling. And this is the first time I ever journaled. I started writing down at 10:45, we're up there now just kind of discussing and talking. And Pastor Larry had started asking a few questions like, you know, we need really a better base of operations. We started asking questions like, is this pastor's conference we're here for really beneficial? Pastor Glenn had mentioned that every time I come, there seems to be a little hiccup somewhere with Pastor Louis, like he's not really prepared for us. So I was quiet. And Pastor Glenn leans over to me and goes, so Don, what, you haven't said anything. What would you come up with? I said, you don't want to know.
And he had this big smile on his face.
And I said, 23 years ago, I was here in Haiti on a military operation for 6 months. I said, we follow the PACE formula. And that's primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency. For everything we do, we've got a primary route, an alternate route, a contingency, emergency. For everything, for communications, I said, Pastor Louis is our only point of contact, and he's also our single point of failure. And they both looked at me, and Pastor Glenn's going, I know. And he's shaking his head, and Pastor Larry's like, what'd you say? Say it, repeat that again. And when I told him that he's our single point of failure, what I meant to say was that if something happens to Pastor Louis, what's our backup plan?
Right.
Do we have a number to a taxi? Does anybody else know we're in the country? Where is the conference at? And I'm hitting Pastor Glenn with all these questions, and he's like, stop, stop, Don, that's enough. Enough talking. So I wrote down in my journal, can we find an organization with better networking? And Pastor Larry had kept saying, we need a base of operations close to McAtee. We need a base of operations. That was right up my alley. I'm thinking military operations. So I wrote this question down in my journal. It was probably about noontime. I said, God, what are we to do? ? And I kind of journaled a couple other things. And we were discussing, what are some things we need? We need good transportation. We need an interpreter, of course. We need lodging. We need a nice place that has food and water. We need safety. We need security. I mean, we were coming up with things that if we wanted to bring you all, we would feel better and comfortable with. So that kind of set the stage, and the entire time, we're up there underneath of a grapevine. And it didn't dawn on us until a couple hours later that God's going to answer that prayer. I don't know if you want me to get into that or not yet, but
yeah, go ahead.
As we leave, it's about 3:45. Louis comes back about 1:30. We have lunch. And he takes us, says, the brakes are good. Let's go for a ride. We're going to an orphanage. So we start to drive. We get to one orphanage, and they won't let us in. So we're like, was this the place? And Louis's not really communicating very well with us. We drive a little bit further, and we pull up to this walled area. It has a big, huge metal gate up there. He beeps the horn. A guy opens it up, asks for Louis's driver's license. What are you here for? Unannounced, we showed up, and we call the director for a tour. And the director says, absolutely, let him in. We come in, and we close it up, and immediately we looked around, and within the first 5 minutes of talking to the director, God answered the prayer of every one of the seven things that we just talked about.
And before you go any further with that, why don't you share the verse that came to us while we were under the vine?
So the verse that hit me was, and it didn't really happen till that night, but I was thinking about the vine and how God answered the prayer, and I went, I know in the Bible somewhere there talks about this grapevine. And I was thinking about it for a minute, and we were all talking, and I said, wait a minute. And I went and got my Bible. I said, it's in John chapter 15. And I pull it back, and I come back out, and I start reading chapters 1, chapter 15, 1 through 6. And then when I got to 7, I got choked up. And I couldn't get through it. And I had to stop and take a pause, and I smiled, and I said, God is awesome. And he goes, well, go on, read it. And it says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you want and it will be given to you. We sat up there on the grapevine and we asked, God, we need these seven things. And I wrote down my first time journaling, what are we to do? And God answered that prayer.
Amen. Amen.
And here's how God answered our prayer. And this is what I was so excited to be able to share with you. We found this place in the orphanage area. It's over 15 acres. And it's called the Joshua House. And you can see the building here. This is a guest house that seats or that accommodates 46 people. Okay? That's the dining hall, and the picture on the left is one of the rooms that they have. They have separate showers, separate bathrooms in those rooms, ceiling fans, mosquito nets. A few of them had air conditioning. But
there's a couple air conditioning ones. That's
probably for the pastors.
And then
the softies.
You have any comment about this?
So we're walking through the Joshua House, and I think the key thing for Pastor Glenn was that he'd been going back there for 5 years and drove right by this place. I mean, it's a little off the beaten path, but for 5 years, this place has been being built. And when he got up onto the second floor and looked out and we saw the entire landscape, he was deep in thought. And you can't tell from the picture there in the center, but there's a tear that's starting to well up because God is answering his prayers. for what he has a passion for. And I stopped and I said, you know what, I'm going to reflect and take a picture of this, because this is not just a Kodak moment, but this is God answering a prayer of a faithful man who for years and years has gone through and not known where I'm going. And yet God said, I've got it all right here. And it's been 5 years that he's been doing this, and it finally opened up for him. And that picture there, to me, was probably the pinnacle of the trip, because God answered a prayer of a faithful man.
I mean, he's just looking out over the whole area.
And that's the view right there.
Beautiful views from there, from the mountains. But everything that we will need for future trips and support is right here. It's utterly amazing.
And from that middle slide there, from that balcony, if you look the other direction, you could also see the ocean. So it's just a beautiful place. It's away from all the hustle and bustle of the city of Cappadocia. And they have this outdoor chapel that probably seats 150, 200 people. They told us we could have retreats there. We could hold conferences there. They hold their services there.
Can do our pastor's conference.
And most of these buildings have been built as recently as 2013. Mm-hmm. So they're all really new. And they had no idea we were coming, you know, so it wasn't like they cleaned up the place really good, you know, but it was like gorgeous.
Immaculate.
Then here's the building where the children stay, and there are currently 32 children staying there at the orphanage. It's called Ida D. And here's the crazy part of it. Tim Noor did a Google search to try to find an orphanage near Makatee, where we're serving in the village there, as you know. And he found this place called Helping Haitian Angels. It was an orphanage. And so that's what I asked Pastor Louis to help us find.
And we actually thought it would be a place where we could have a base of operations
right,
from online.
Right.
It sounded like they could provide the water, et cetera.
And so he said, yeah, I know where that's at. He said, I know somebody that works there. So we thought we were at Helping Haitian Angels. So I kept saying to the interpreter, I was like, this is Helping Haitian Angels, right? He goes, it's IDD, IDD. It's French Creole. We call it IDD. I was like, oh, okay. Whatever, you know. And later on, I asked the same question. I was like, yeah, IDD. I was like, okay. So when we get our I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but when we end their tour and we get the contact info to call when we get back to the States, it's out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, not Virginia. I was like, So I get home in my office and I check out the websites and everything. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not the buildings we were at, Helping Haitian Angels. That building doesn't look right. That's not the orphanage. I looked up this other organization that they gave us the name for, and I was like, that's where we were. So all of this blessing came out of being at the wrong orphanage. Do you understand? So hang on, here we go. Some more pictures here. They have wheelchair ramps able to bring the children that are handicapped there. And the kids, all of a sudden, they just start attaching to us, as you'll see. They just had a great time with us. There's a school being built. You notice on the left there that there's rebar going up, so they're planning a second story onto that. This is up to sixth, seventh grade right now, and they actually have two other orphanages in the area of Cappadocia and Makatee, and those are for the older children, so up through high school. Let's see here. Then
the picture of the kids in the lower right, it's kind of funny. The kids must really be into ninja stuff and trying to get pictures, and they won't stand still.
That one boy had a good kick, too. I got one in the shin. And they're growing their own food. There's agricultural projects that we could be part of. This is some pineapple and do you remember some of the other things?
They're growing that tea, what's it?
Moringa.
They're growing moringa.
It's a great, healthy plant for healing purposes and so forth. So moringa, pineapple, yams. They had all kind of fruit trees, guava, mango, of course, and so forth. All that's going on. Then, if that wasn't enough, we get in the back of a pickup truck. And just jump in whenever you guys want to.
So it's a small truck that has just two people in the front seat. And immediately, Pastor Larry went straight to the front. So I looked at Pastor Glenn, and him and I, with our bad backs, we said, well, I guess we're going to sit in the bed of the truck. And we actually wanted to walk. Well, can we just walk? Because we knew we were in the back. And no, it's too far. And by the time we got in the back of the truck and we drove up, we looked at the construction, and there was people still working there. Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing to see. They're building a hospital, and they said it's going to be built in 3 months from now.
Yes.
And so,
open in May.
Wow. I was like, the amount of work that they're doing, the construction they're at, looking at where it's at, 3 months from now, it'll be complete.
And then, you know, it may not sound real exciting to some of us here, but just think how important this is in places that don't have clean water and bathrooms. They do water wells, and they do latrine projects. And that all of a sudden hit us at McAtee. There are no bathrooms in the houses. They are in the process of building a bathroom in the church, but that would be the only place in McAtee that has a bathroom. I shared this with the youth the other night, and they're like, ew. I was like, yeah, think about that, you know. The well that you see in the center picture there, that's the well at McAtee. And they bathe in there. They clean their dishes. And the kids come with the buckets of water to take back to their home. That's their water supply. The other shots on the left and the right there, Don kept getting selfies to make sure everyone knew he was there. But and so by the end of the trip, and I don't know that I have him included on the slide, I don't think, but by the end of the trip, I was taking pictures of him taking pictures. That's how it gets a little silly after you've been together for a week. But in that remote area, we actually saw a brand new latrine being built. It had a padlock on it. And Louis's like, oh, I wanted to show you. We're like, we know what it looks like. Okay, but the fact of the matter is they are building these latrines. And
for communities.
Yeah. And so that's another option also that we could be part of to provide that resource for the people of McAtee. And then, you know, a lot of you that know me well know my heart is for child sponsorship. And so I had to ask the question, do you by any chance do child sponsorship? And they said, absolutely, absolutely. They said, every child that's in the orphanage, someone from the States or other countries has sponsored this child to financially provide the food, the education, the clothes, all those kind of things. So that's another opportunity for our church. You could sponsor a child and communicate with that child, and whether you go or not, some of us will get to see that child and take pictures of that child for you if you can't go. But can you imagine meeting your sponsored child for the first time face to face?
Amen.
You know, I've had the opportunity to do that in Haiti and other areas of Haiti and in Africa, and I'll never forget that moment. It was amazing. So that's another option. And that's done out of Pittsburgh Kids Foundation, which is the U.S. connections for this whole thing that we're sharing. It's all out of Pittsburgh, and they do fundraisers and investments and things all year long to help fund all these projects. And so we'll give you more details as we unfold this and get more in detail, but the way the sponsored child, you simply go on their website, you select the child you want, and you make the payment, and you get started. So it's very simple. Don took these pictures here.
It's very, very faint. You can see it. It's a rainbow there.
Yeah.
And this is Sunday morning. We woke up, and I'm outside. Pastor Larry comes out. And I started to kind of share with him that 23 years ago, I was in Haiti, and I was a brand new Christian. I accepted Christ on Easter of 1994, and in September 94, I find myself in Haiti. And I run across a guy who was reading a camouflage book. And I joked with him and said, what are you reading, Army regulation here in Haiti? And he said, this is God's regulation. It's the Bible. They gave it to us before we left. And he handed it to me, and for the first time ever, I started reading the Bible as a new Christian from cover to cover. And I was telling Pastor Larry as we're outside, I said, you know, I didn't know the stories of Noah. I didn't know about the flood. I didn't know that God gave a rainbow as a promise to him. And Pastor Larry, as I'm telling my testimony, he goes, turn around and look, Don. And there was a rainbow up over the mountaintop. And I went, God is still honoring his promises. You know, his promises are all through the Bible. And back to that John 15 passage, that's a promise. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you want and it'll be given to you. Because what we're asking is for God to be blessed, for God to get the glory. That's what our prayers have been. Amen. And so that rainbow kind of was, for me, it was the ultimate, God just answered another prayer, and he said, Don, I'm faithful. You just need to hold on because the ride is going to get crazy. So that rainbow was awesome to me.
Amen.
We'll have to speed it up a little bit here, guys, on these slides. That was just all one day. That was all just Saturday. Okay. So we were absolutely blown away saying, it can't get any better than this. And then one of the guys said, we have a conference to do. but that was Monday. So here's Sunday morning. I had the opportunity to preach there at McAtee. And of course, they introduced all of us. That's Pastor Neville on the right there with Don out in front of the church. And then Pastor Neville was excited because he's been renting this little area to live in with his family. And he recently purchased a plot of land there in McAtee to build a house. And so all he has right now is the land and that pile of rocks. Yep. That's as far as he's gotten so far. So that's something that we can maybe think about and work through the help. We're offering a prayer there for the new area. And then we did a prayer walk through McAtee. That slide on the left is where one of the witch doctors live. So every time we go, we try to meet with him and witness to him. We did share the good news with him again. And his answer when I asked him when he dies, where is he think he's going to go, and he said he would be in heaven, and I said, why? And he said, because I have done many good things, and I'm Catholic. Mm. So not so much different than what we hear here, is it? Mm. So his thinking is a little confused right now on the fact that good works is what gets you to heaven. Pastor Neville there with his little girl Ruth. And then we had to get some refreshment on the way home. So Pastor Louis's like, are you all thirsty? We should get a drink. And so he stops at a field that he owns, and one of his guys were out there with machetes, and we got about as fresh as you can get with the coconut there. So coconut drink was good at that point. Then Sunday night, Pastor Laird, do you want to share a little bit about that?
We were at Pastor Bastrien's church, and I had the opportunity to preach that night. His wife, Janice, is our cook while we are there at Pastor Louis's house. And her niece, Joanne, also helps her. And so we made a strong bond with Pastor Bastrien and his family. Pastor Bastrien is blind, and he's leading a church without the ability to read a Bible. He has to have someone read to him. And just imagine what it must be like pastoring a church blind. And but he's a very faithful man of God. Had the opportunity to preach. The last time that we were there, 2 years ago, I guess, when Gary Bookman was there, Gary preached at night and the electricity went off in the middle of his sermon. So I made sure that I had my sermon on my little iPad thing so that I could read if the electricity went off. But it was a great experience. And to give you an idea about the heart of the people, when we went home that night, again, we are in this little pickup truck. Pastor Louis, Glenn, Don, myself were in the pickup truck, and we did not realize it, but Janice got into the back of the pickup truck, and was it Joanne? Who else was it?
Yeah,
Joanne was in the back of the pickup truck, and drove all the way back to take them her home. We did not realize she was back there because it was dark when we left and so on. It rained a little bit, and it's just like, you know, we're the guests, and they're just willing to go out of their way. So it almost brought us to tears. We did not realize what was going on at the time.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing, the hospitality.
And this was also the church where, if you remember my report from November of last year, where we went and distributed food during the floods. This was the church that we helped out. So they made this huge appreciation deal about that as well. Then the conference started on Monday, and we'll just go real fast through this, just some pictures, 4 days of all three of us preaching there. And we had 35 pastors show up on a regular basis. And then I wanted you to share about the Eric Little story.
Yeah. I was preaching through the week through Revelation 2 and 3, the seven churches of Revelation. Of course, when you get toward the end, you get to the church with the open door, and how God provides open doors for us to ministry. And so I used an illustration in the service, the story of Eric Little, and I won't tell you that story, but most of you remember, you know, the Chariots of Fire movie, the story of the Olympic track star who would not run on Sunday. And because he would not run on Sunday, made international news, and it gave him the opportunity time after time after time to share his faith in a way that he never would have had. So by him being faithful, it gave him the opportunity, many opportunities, an open door to share his faith. Well, as I'm coming down from the pulpit, Don's standing there and Glenn are standing there. They got big grins on their face. And Glenn's saying, you're not going to believe how well that story goes in with what I'm going to teach next, because I'm going to be talking about the Olympics and so on. I wasn't going to share that story, but it fits right
and
in.
About running the race and persevering.
Yeah, running the
and
race,
all that.
Perseverance through the race.
And I had told Don that as you were still preaching.
Yeah, and Don said, yeah, and it fits really well with what I'm going to say here today. So, you know, some neat confluence. I mean, we had all talked about what we were going to share in general, but we didn't know in specific, so none of us knew exactly what we were going to be saying. So it all kind of fit together in that service. So that was neat. The pastor's conference ended that day, very emotional, tears among the pastors, us. We prayed over them. They prayed over us. They were so blessed. I'll come back to that in just a moment. But then we thought the Eric Little story was over at that point. But at night, getting toward 9 o'clock or so, and Don, you might want to share what Ann did for you and what happened next.
Yeah, so real quick, I know this is real short. My wife and I pray every night. Well, we couldn't pray because we didn't have phones, so she wrote letters for me every night. And we're doing a devotion that our life group has been doing, that Tim Noor gave each one of us the same devotional. Well, she'd made copies of each one of the nights. So I went back and I read the letter from my wife. It's our prayer time. And then I read the devotional. And I started busting up. I said, you guys got to hear this. I walk back out with the devotional. I start to read it, and it starts out like this. In 1924 Olympics, Eric Little...
This is unbelievable.
The devotion, it blew us away.
March 10th devotion...
We just started laughing.
In our devotion was the story of Eric Little. I hadn't read it because it was in the card that my wife had put for me. And we all had that exact same message that day. So Eric Little and that message needed to be spoken.
What was also amazing about this, you know, we had 35 men at the conference. It was a great conference. We were in the beginning, you know, is this something we should be continuing to do? And it was definitely affirmed. But one of the men who was at the conference was a bivocational policeman as well as a pastor. And it turns out that there's another pastor's conference that occurs in Haiti. And it's very large. There are like 700 pastors at that pastor's conference. We were unaware of this until this trip. And the man at the end of the conference, he kind of gives a testimony of what the pastor's conference meant to him. He mentions that he is on the committee that oversees that larger conference. And he said, I'd like to have you guys come back next year. You can share the same thing, the 700 pastors. It was like, wow, another open door.
Yeah.
It was utterly incredible.
So real quick on the last couple things here, because I do have a brief message I want to share in a couple minutes. We were able to share some gifts with Janice and Joanne, and Don had a solar-powered phone charger, which was so exciting to her because she has no electric in her home where she lives. Leslie here was one that was at the music workshop back in November. So one of our guitar players from the Mosaic Service, Brandon Dahl, worked with some people to donate a guitar, so I delivered that to him. And he was very tearful about that moment as well. Just travel home shots. And then here's the last thing I wanted to share with you, just for time's sake. There's other stories to give you also, but here's the next steps for us. The next thing we're going to do is form a Haiti team, because it's big enough now that I want people on a team who really are passionate about this with us, for sure. We continue to pray, obviously, about this, because we've seen God do amazing things on this last trip. We're going to continue to support Pastor Neville financially for a while yet. We're going to continue the pastor's conference. That was confirmed for us in the music workshops in November. Don introduced the 318 men, and so they're talking about maybe having a men's conference at times. There's opportunities to do evangelism using the Jesus film and some technology that we have to use that. Other projects, we've talked about child sponsorship. There's still a wall around the property at McAtee that they want to build. So those of you that like to do construction, that would be something that we could do. Construction at the orphanage as well. The clean water projects, the latrine projects, they said we could help tutor math and English at the orphanage. Just go and love on the kids. They need schools, they need teachers. Medical clinics, medical trips we could do once the hospital is in place. So those are all different things, and many, many more that we could do. So think about your, thank you guys, think about your skills, think about your gifts, and be watching the bulletin in the next couple of weeks. I'll pull together a Haiti meeting, and we'll start with a marker board, and we'll start jotting some things down and make a plan for the future. Can you see how God just dumped a truckload of blessings on us? I hope we've been able to communicate in a very brief time just how amazing this trip was. To God be the glory for that. Amen. Amen. So let me transition here real quickly. It's not a 40-minute message, so don't panic. It's just a brief message, and I'm going to try to pull this off for us. So it made sense to talk about John 15 today. John 15, 7, if you want to turn there. And just want to bring out a few points to us from that passage, John chapter 15. Jesus makes it very clear to his disciples in this part of the discourse that he is the vine and we are the branches. And if we remain or abide in him, we will bear much fruit. If you look at chapter 15 with John, Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me or abide in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, and whatever you wish, it will ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The word remain or abide means to dwell or to continue on and on and on in a fixed state. So the more we as the branches continue to abide in him, the vine, then the more nourishment we as the branch will receive from the vine. And the more nourishment that we receive, the more fruit, Scripture says, we should be bearing. You know, vineyards were very important to the life and the economy of Israel back in the day. And the image that Christ used would have connected very well with his people, with his listeners. And Bible commentator Warren Wiersbe describes three different kinds of vines that you will see in Scripture. He talks about the past vine. That would be Israel in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight." Then there would be the future vine, Wiersbe says. Then you find that in Revelation 14, where the vine of the earth is mentioned. But where I want to focus today is the present, the vine where Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branch." And Jesus is calling himself this, that he is the vine. In John 15:6, Jesus teaches that branches that do not remain in him will be thrown away and tossed into the fire. This refers to those professing to be Christians, much like a Judas, that are not genuinely saved and will be judged accordingly. Dead branches that have withered are those without Christ that will be facing a life of eternal fire and punishment. Judas was with Jesus. He seemed like a branch for a while, but he did not abide or have life in Christ. Therefore, he departed the fellowship and betrayed Jesus. Jesus said in verse 5, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." This is very blunt truth. This is not pride or arrogance on the part of Christ. It was the absolute truth. There is no life, there is no good fruit in life apart from Jesus Christ. Just like a branch that I cleaned out of my yard yesterday, that no longer is attached to the main trunk of the tree or the vine in this example. It's lifeless. It's meaningless. There's no green on this. It's never going to grow again. It's never going to bear fruit. It's on its own now. The unattached branch cannot bear fruit that is acceptable to the Lord. Without Christ in our lives, what is done here on earth and all of one's accomplishments will simply burn away in judgment. In contrast, though, verses 7 and 8 emphasize the positive of this passage. When we remain or abide in Christ, we bear fruit. And abiding in keeping fellowship with Jesus so that his life can work in and through our lives to produce good fruit. Abiding demands from us things like worship and meditating on God's word and prayer and sacrifice and service. Fruitfulness is a result of reproducing ourselves as a disciple. The disciple's part is to remain and abide. And remain is a key word in John's theology. It appears over 40 times in the gospel, in this gospel of John alone. The promises and results are conditional in this passage. If you remain in me, and I in you, then you will bear much fruit. So friends, if you're not bearing fruit, then perhaps one needs to look at the condition of this promise. The word must remain in us, it says. We must read, we must study the word and learn what it says. We must have our thoughts and our desires controlled by the word. Effective prayer is based on our faith in Jesus Christ and on his words remaining in us. These words mold and control a believer's mind, and so that one's prayers begin to conform to the Father's will. The results are certain. Your prayers will be answered according to his will, because they are now in alignment with the word. This isn't a name it, claim it message. I don't do that. We don't do that here. This is aligning ourselves with God's will and his word. And this is what brings glory to the Father. And we saw this happening in Haiti. My final point this morning is that fruitful branches require pruning. Pruning is part of fruit bearing. Some vineyards invest 2 to 3 years in training the pruners so they know exactly where to cut, so they know how much to cut, and even the correct angle to cut in order to produce the most fruit on their vines. We as believers, individually and as a church, are pruned because God loves us and he wants to bear fruit for his glory. If a branch could speak as it's pruned, we would probably yell out, "Ouch, that hurts." But after we are pruned, we will later say, "Look at this beautiful fruit." Nobody likes the pruning, but we love to show the fruit, don't we? Fruitful branches are pruned of bad spots, useless buds, misdirected shoots, discolored leaves, infectious parts, all these things. But for us, that may be thoughts, attitudes, lack of commitment and service. It could be behaviors, addictions, wrong passions, desires. It could be wrong motives in our lives. It could be broken relationships. It could be acting religious. And what I found out, and I'm sure you have too, your Heavenly Father is closest to you when he is pruning. You can't prune apart from the bush. You have to get up close to prune. We may not enjoy the process, but we need it. The more we abide, the more fruit we bear. And the more fruit we bear, the more the Father continues to prune. We as branches are pruned three ways. By the words of Jesus, who is truth. John 17:17 and verse 19 says that we are sanctified by the word which is truth. And by the mirror of the word of God. When we look at God's word, we reflect both ourselves and our shortcomings and Christ in his perfection. So we have that to be modeled. And by remaining or abiding in Jesus. This is both a promise and a command. 1 John 2:4 says, "Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." And John 3:24 says, "Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them." My question for us this morning is this. Are you clinging to the vine? Or are you an unattached branch? Because there is no middle ground. You are either accepting of God's grace and love and receiving this new life that begins to bear fruit, or you remain unattached, separated from God eternally. Today, you can make sure where you stand. On this Palm Sunday, a week from Easter celebration, you could celebrate new life in Christ today by surrendering your life and receiving the Lord Jesus right now. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, for those who have trusted you for salvation, may we abide in you through the storms of life and on the days when all else is clear. May we be reminded that what we have in you is enough when everything else fails. God, may we be confident that you will carry us when we don't feel you close, when people let us down, when we're overwhelmed at work, or when insecurity rears its ugly head. God, we know we can't conquer anything on our own. So thank you for supplying us with strength when our strength is gone. And may we always remain in you, our source for everything we need. And for those who have not yet surrendered their life to you, I pray this would be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As customary, every Sunday here, we give you the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus, or perhaps you are a believer in Christ and you would like to make a commitment or decision this morning for baptism or joining their church. We would love to have conversations with you about that. We would invite you to come forward, and myself or one of the other pastors or deacons can help you with that. So as Lynn leads our closing invitation hymn, let's keep that in mind and ask the Lord to do his work right now.
Please stand. We will sing hymn number 63, "Abide With Me."
Father, thank you for this time to share the many things that you have shown us while when we were in Haiti. God, I pray now that we would rest in you and abide in you, and that we would be fruit bearers for your glory. And I pray this over this congregation this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We're going to sing the chorus, Jesus.